The Torah tells us in Parshas Hazinu Zechoy Yimei Solam, Vinu Shinosu Avador, you should remember the days of before and the generation, Shalvicha V'Yadgercha, Zekeinecha V'Yomulach, right? You'll ask your forefathers and they'll tell you about what happened beforehand, right? And this is a source for many people regarding the idea of learning Jewish history, that you should remember the previous days, know the accounts and the occurrences of what happened that came before us. This is cited in many, many different discussions. Rav Schwab has an essay all about learning Jewish history, and he cites this pasuk as well. And many, many rabbanim who talk about the significance of Jewish history cite this pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. But if one thinks about it, before the 1800s, before the advent of modern Jewish thoughts and scientific study of Judaism, you could probably count great Jewish historians on one, maybe two hands. It's not something that we actively engage in as a policy to engage in the study of history. There are some exceptions to the rule. There's the Sefer Hadoros and other books that discuss things that are related to Jewish history and accounts of Tanayim. The Rambam has the whole Masorah up until his point of all the different rabbanim that led from him, from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meiri, in his introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh, has not just from the Rambam, but all the way down to him, a few hundred years later. So there are definitely records of keeping of historical issues and people, and certainly people tell accounts of different things that come up, and the Gemara tells us interesting things about people. But as a policy, to take one's time and to study history doesn't seem to be something that we find to have a lot of sources. Rav Pinkus has a drasha in the Mamarim on Sukkos. Rav Pinkus says that for us, Jewish history means that knowing that Hashem runs the world. That's what it means, Jewish history. Jewish history is not knowing dates and facts and names and places, but Jewish history, says Rav Pinkus, is the idea that we see connections between A and B, we see who was living at that time, and we see how one thing led to another, that Hasidus comes after the advent of Shabtai Tzvi and the massacres of the Cossacks in Tach Hatav in 1648-1649, and one puts together and sees Yad Hashem, that after that despair comes about Shem Tov with inspiration and ideas for the Jewish people, and sees how that confluence of events can teach us about Yad Hashem. So in Rav Pinkus' view, Jewish history is about seeing Hashem and how Hashem puts different pieces together. But just facts and places and numbers on its own, says Rav Pinkus, are irrelevant. There needs to be an idea that the history is teaching us something more, Yerushalayim, Avos Hashem, all these ideas to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In history, there's something called a great man theory. The great man theory, it was something that was promoted by English historians in the beginning of the 20th century, the end of the 19th century, that history is decided by single individuals. That really, what changes the course of history is not masses of people or movements, but individual people in the right time, in the right place, making decisions that change the course and put things on a certain path. This is debated nowadays, whether there's a great man theory of history now, or great woman theory of history. That is debated by contemporary historians. But we certainly see within Torah, within Jewish history, that there are certainly great individuals. There are significant individuals who are in the right time, in the right place. The Vilna Gaon was put in that time because the world needed a Vilna Gaon at that time. And Rav Yaakov Emden and Yonos and Emeshus were put in that generation because, for whatever reason, that needed to go on at that place. Whatever it may be, Rav Yudah Nasi in the writing of the Mishnah, pick any famous Jewish person and pick any famous time in Jewish history, there's a reason for them to be there at that time. So there is somewhat of a great man theory. Rabbi Schechter likes to tell the following story. Rabbi Schechter gives shiurim all over the Tri-State area in different communities on a weekly basis. At a certain point, I forgot whether it was in Queens or Brooklyn, so he was giving a weekly Gemara shiur, and there was an elderly Russian man who was coming to the shiur. And it was very clear from this gentleman's affect and the questions he would ask about during shiur that he didn't really have any idea what was going on in the Gemara shiur. It was very clear that most of the ideas were way over his head, and it was not matzim on a pedagogical level for him to be at that shiur. But Rav Schechter was a Baal Midos, and obviously he did not say anything to the gentleman. After a while, the man came over to Rav Schechter and said, "I bet you wonder why I come to the shiur." Rav Schechter, again, is a Baal Midos. He did not say, "Oh, yes, I've been thinking about this in the last 4 months. Why do you come to the shiur?" So he smiled, and the gentleman explained as follows. He said that when I was in the Russian army, when I was a young man, they would hand out cards and lists of who the generals and the officers are. and telling us this is the commander over here, and this person is in charge of this one, and this is the hierarchy, and this is this person in the government, and this is this person in the Communist Party, all this information. Why do we have to memorize this? We should have been working on shooting, or whatever else they need to teach you in the army. Why are we learning about who these people are? So they explained that the Russian army understood that the soldier is better when he knows who is the hierarchy, who is above him, who is he working for, who's the boss, and who's above this one. When you know where you sit and where you rank, and you know who you're supposed to look up to and who you're supposed to admire and follow, it makes you a better soldier. So Rav Schechter likes to point out, or one could also draw this on their own from the story, that it's important to know about Torah personalities, or even for the sake of biography, even non-Torah personalities. It's important to know who the characters are. When you know who the Gedolim are, when you know who the great leaders are of the Jewish people, it gives you a greater appreciation for the army that we're in, for the people that we're supposed to look up to, the people we're supposed to admire. And this is a reason enough to be concerned about biography and what the biographies and what stories about these people have to teach us. If we look here in the Medrash Rabbah, and Bamidbar, so the Medrash says very clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'asek b'shivchon shel tzadikim l'farsem ba'olam. That's what Hashem involves himself in. There's different midrashim with contradictory ideas, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mizadik zibugim, he's making shidduchim all day, but here the Medrash says very clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in the praise of tzadikim to let their stories be known throughout the world. The Chazon Ish was known to have said that the biographies of Torah leaders are great books of Musar. Right? Some of the posts can say on Tisha B'Av, you can read biographies of Gedolim, because that's Musar, it inspires you, it guides you in a proper perspective. The Chazon Ish himself has a remarkable statement in his writings. The Chazon Ish in Bava Kamma here, in Siman Yud Aleph Os Chaf. So he is discussing Rabbeinu Chananel. Because Rabbeinu Chananel, the beginning of the Rishonim, so Rabbeinu Chananel in halacha is often quoted as the final word. If Rabbeinu Chananel said something, that's as if it was mipi ha'gvura, like Moshe Rabbeinu said it, all by himself. So the Chazon Ish wants to know, why is Rabbeinu Chananel so important? Why do we care about what he has to say? So he talks about that he had traditions, and he knew his Rebbeim, and he knew their stories, and he had all different types of information about them. He was a fountain of information about the previous generations. And therefore he writes towards the end over, he says, he would say things that he learned from the previous generations, dvarim, the star mafliam, amazing things. And therefore, the generations would follow him because he had all this knowledge of the previous generations before him. Whoever is wealthy in the actions of the Rishonim, Yeshvo Kedushi Yaseira, they have extra holiness, the Chachmi Yaseira, and more wisdom. It doesn't mean you can't argue with the person, it doesn't mean he's Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, but one who is familiar with the actions and the stories and the ideals of the previous generations is smarter and has more Yiras Hashem. So says the Chazon Ish. Look at Rabbeinu Bachya. And also in the Shari Tshuva, Shari Tshuva writes in the Shar Gimel, he says, Yadua da davar min hamidos hanos v'sapri shevachach min tzadikim. It's good midos to talk about great tzadikim. K'mo sh'ne'amar v'chakra kvodam kvod. Look at Rabbeinu Bach in the beginning of his introduction to Parshas Vayishlach. Yischayev adam lachkor ha-tzadikim v'sapri b'shevach malasam. The person is chayev to go and learn about great Torah personalities and to talk about them. V'agid lecha ki erach akira hazos v'chakra kvodam. Hutov ma'achilas hadvash, it's like eating honey. Ki achilas hadvash harbos lo tov. A lot of it is not good. But harbos lachma b'fodam, hutov v'kavod eitz l'machshav. But a lot of, it's better than honey. Because a lot of discussion and learning about Torah personalities, you can't go wrong. You can't fill up on Gedolim biographies, says Rabbeinu Bachya. Ve'al kein hizir Shlomo HaMelech, and he goes on to quote from Shlomo HaMelech regarding tzaddikim, and he quotes psukim along the same line as well, defending this idea about learning from a Gedolim and learning about them. There's a similar comment from Rav Ovadia Hadaya. Rav Ovadia Hadaya was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshivas Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the 20th century. So he has his Chuvos, which are popular called Yaskil Avdi, but he also has Sifrei Machshava. His Sifrei Machshava are called Das Veheskel. They are Chuvos about Machshava and also in Yanni Kabbalah. So in Chel Ches and Simen Yud Zayin, Rav Ovadia Hadaya has the following discussion. There's a Mipia Shmua, there's a statement that was brought down in the name of the Baal Shem Tov about learning about Gedolim and telling stories about Tzadikim. So the Rav Avadja Hedaya says that it's like the Maisim Merkava. It's like learning about the Maisim Merkava, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Tzadikim, the great Torah personalities, carry Hashem's name. They're Mekadoshim Shemayim. It says Hashem is resting with them. And therefore, when you learn about them, it's as if you're learning about the chariot that carries the Kaddish Baruch Hu's name. It teaches you, gives you an insight into Kiddush Hashem, Yer Shemayim, Avas Hashem, and things like that. Now, I'm well aware that there are detractors about certain types of Gedolim biographies. One might critique Art Scroll and what those things bring to the table, hagiography, telling stories and stories without giving context about the person had to struggle and the difficulties they had in life. But even so, and we can discuss that next time, regarding where the role of that is, but nevertheless, there's something to be gained regardless, to have an appreciation for who this person was. When a person opens up a Chumash and learns Chumash Rashi, to understand what Rashi accomplished and what was going on, that he had to go through crusades, and his life was filled with a lot of tzaras, and nevertheless, he wrote his Perush on Chumash. That's an amazing lesson. We could talk about so many different people who had struggles and had to overcome and do and to grow, and what we can grow from the fact and learn about how what they accomplished based on this. Now, in that light, I want to make the following statement and caveat. Along with the importance of learning about Rabbanim and Gedolim and Tzaddikim and Torah personalities, the person also needs to do it with a grain of salt and with a keen eye. Because if you simply imbibe and ingest every single maisa that's told, so you're going to come out with a lot of silly things. I want to give two examples, okay? The first is from a biography about Rav Shalom Shvadron. Rav Shalom Shvadron's biography in Hebrew is called Kol Sofayach, and Art Scroll translated into English, it's called Voice of Truth, something like that. So there's a story in there about the following event. It once happened that Rav Kook and Rav Mordechai Epstein, Rav Rosh Yeshivat Hebron, and Rav Zalman Meltzer were all meeting somewhere. I forgot what the context of where they were meeting, but they were all meeting somewhere. And the story goes, to show their godliness in Torah and their brilliance, that they decided that one another would just simply recite a Masechta by heart. And Rav Kook did Yevamos by heart, and then Rav Mordechai Epstein did Bava Kamma by heart, and Rav Zalman Meltzer did another Masechta by heart. And they just listened to each other rattle off a Masechta by heart. That's the story to show their godliness in Torah. So there's a beautiful sefer called Imre Shefer. Imre Shefer is a collection of Dibbei Torah from Rav Avram Shapiro, who was the Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav. It was put together by Rav Yitzhak Dadon, who became famous, unfortunately, because he was the officer who killed the terrorist in Merkaz HaRav. He was also an officer in the army and a renowned Talmud Chacham. So in that book, he records from his Rebbe Rav Avram Shapiro the following point about the story I just told. He said, how could it be that Rav Kook, Rav Yitzhak Zalman Meltzer, and Rav Mordechai Epstein got together, and they had nothing else to discuss in depth besides reciting Masechtos of Shas by heart. They had no chedushim, they had no insights to say, they had no words of inspiration, they had no token of depth. So said Rav Shapiro, the story can't be true. It's impossible. If you knew who Rav Kook was, and you knew who Rav Mordechai Epstein was, you knew who Rav Zalman Meltzer was, they would not have sat there and simply impressed each other by reciting Torah Sheval Peh by heart. There needs to be something more to the story. So says Avraham Shapiro, and Avraham Shapiro was a great lover of Gedolim stories. He said, when you read a story about a Talmud Chacham, you need to pay attention to it and read it carefully and understand what's going on. Another story. This is in the Haggadah Shel Pesach Yisa Bracha, which is a collection of Divrei Torah and ideas from Rav Yashav after he passed away. So there, they tell the following story, that Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was older, had a question about a certain surgery. The surgery was slightly invasive, and it would put him out of commission for a little bit, and he was unsure about the surgery. Should he do it or not? So one of the grandchildren was a little confused, because Rav Moshe got life or death questions about medical issues all the time. And all of a sudden, for himself, he couldn't figure out what to do. Look at the surgery, you know what to do, and decide, yes or no. What is he so confused about? So the grandson asked him, what's the issue over here? So Rav Moshe said as follows. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Mashiach comes, they're going to bring back the Sanhedrin, right? And the Sanhedrin is going to say, you know, the Sanhedrin needs to know Kadshim and Taros and all Chelkei Torah. So Rav Moshe was aware of his humility and also knew his capabilities. And he said, I'm aware of what I know, and it could be that maybe I'll be chosen to be on the Sanhedrin. But if I have this surgery, it might give me a mug. It might make me puzzled to be on the Sanhedrin because someone who sits on the Sanhedrin can't have any physical blemishes. And this surgery was a shaila, is it going to be a permanent mum, a permanent blemish, or one that's not going to be visible? And therefore he was unsure. And that was to show the godlessness of Moshe's Yimra Torah, sensitivity, the future, whatever it may be, being Mitzapel, Yeshua, all these things. So Rav Yashav heard the story, and Rav Yashav said, Lo Haya V'lo Nivra. It cannot be the story took place. Because when that story occurred, Rav Moshe was very old at that point. And a Zakein Muflag, a very old person, can't sit on the Sanhedrin. So Rav Moshe would have been puzzled from the Sanhedrin in the first place, and it never could have happened. So those are two examples where a person reads a story, but you also have to know the biography is there to teach a lesson, and there's Musar, and it also has to be with a sense of reality of what the truth is. So those are two perspectives regarding how one learns about Talmidei Chachamim and great Torah figures. About Rav Moshe again. So in the after the first Rav Moshe biography was published, so they a gentleman walked into MTJ and he had a big check for the yeshiva. So they were wondering who he was. He had no connections. They brought him to the Rosh Yeshiva. And they said, what are you doing here? Do you know Moshe Feinstein? What's your connection? Well, thank you very much for the money, but, you know, what's going on here? So the gentleman said, I know nothing about the yeshiva or Moshe Feinstein. I never met him before. But I wasn't from, and somebody gave me a book about this Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And when I read it, I was so impressed with his midos. I didn't care about the learning and how much he knew and the yeshiva and all those things. But I was so impressed that a human being could be so refined and have such sensitivity that I wanted to know more about Judaism. And this is what the Torah has to teach. I want to know more about it. And just through learning about the person, it gave this individual, this gentleman, a glimmer of something into the Torah that set him on the proper path only through or with the help of this biography. So we've argued, certainly, I think, cogently, that there's a place. There's certainly a place in teaching. There's a place for ourselves to know and to discuss and to learn about Talmidei Chachamim, their stories, and what they have to teach us. Now, I want to argue the other side for a moment. So if you turn the sheet over, you have your letter. So this letter is an introduction to the Merome Sada. The Merome Sada is the Netziv's Chedushim on Shas. This has nothing to do with his Kedushim. It's a letter written by the Netziv's son, Rav Chaim Berlin. We know the Netziv got married in his late teens. And then he had a son, that was Rav Chaim Berlin. And then his wife passed away when he was in his 60s, and then he got married again. And that son was Rav Meir Berlin, Rav Meir Bar-Ilan. They were half brothers, but 40 years apart. So the first son, Rav Chaim Berlin, so he wrote a letter. Why did he write this letter? Why was his letter included in his father's Chedushim on Shas? For the following point. You can read the letter inside, but I'll tell you what happened. They asked Rav Chaim Berlin, how come there's no biography of the Netziv yet? This is the beginning of the 20th century. Where is the biography of the Netziv? We want information, stories, maisla. We want something about the Netziv. So Rav Chaim Berlin responded with the following story. He said, my father held one Gadol B'Yisrael above everybody else. And that was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. My father, when you said Rabbi Akiva Eiger's name, he stood up. He would shake when reading his tshuvos because he was so overcome with emotion and yira just from thinking and learning Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Torah. That's who the Netziv held on a pedestal. When the Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Chedushim on Yoredeya on Shulchan Aruch were published, at the beginning, there was an introduction with biographical information and stories by the family. My father never, ever read it. He read all the Chedushim on Yoredeya, knew everything upwards, backwards, forwards, inside and out. Never read the biography from the children of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So I asked him, "No, how is that possible? You, if there was Lahavdil, a poster of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you'd have him up on your wall. Why is it that you are not reading the story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger?" So the Netziv said as follows. Because it's totally unnecessary. The Gemara in Yerushalmi in Shkalim says, Ein osin nefashos l'tzadikim, divreim hein heim zechonim. We don't make remembrances for tzadikim because their words are their remembrance. What's the most important thing about a Torah personality? Any teacher of Torah. Who they were, what they dressed like, what they looked like? No, the most important thing is their divrei Torah. That's the most important thing. The Torah they taught, says the Yerushalmi. I don't need to know about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, says the Netziv, because all I have to know about him is right here in the Sefer. I don't need to know about Rashi, because Chumash Rashi tells me all I need to know about him. That's his essence, that's who he is. I don't need to know about Rav Dessler. The Mechta Eliyahu speaks to me and tells me all about who Rav Dessler was. It's totally irrelevant. It would only take away, said the Nesiv, from what his real thing is. And therefore, says the Nesiv, why should I be filled with Maislech and stories when the most important thing is the Divrei Torah? There's certainly truth to what the Nesiv said, that we shouldn't lose focus. Someone who only reads artsy biographies and only reads Gedolim stories is missing out. The Iker, as we know from teaching, is the Torah, right? You know, a person who would spend 30 minutes of the class talking about the person, and then the last 10 minutes teaching the Torah is missing the point. We can all agree to that. The main thing is the Torah. And that says in the Tziv, that would be a terrible mistake. So miss out on Rabbi Kiviger's Torah and highlight this person. I think the answer is somewhere in between. Because clearly, Klal Yisrael has paskind against the Tziv. We tell Gedolim stories, we learn about Talmidei Chacham, we learn biographies, we teach biographies. Klal Yisrael did not paskind like the Tziv. But the truth is somewhere in the middle. It is important for ourselves and our students to teach about these people. They should know who they are, to know who the generals were, as we said before, Rav Shechter, so who the Torah leaders are. They should appreciate who we should be looking up to, who are the real role models, who are the real people who should inspire us, and at the same time, also not forget the main point, which is their Torah. So I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, to be able to learn about them, and also to be able to learn from them, and to take both lessons, to Zuchor Yemos Olam, to remember what happened before, and at the same time, together with it, also have an understanding of what they taught us in their Torah, and to use them together. So hopefully, Bezrus Hashem, next time, we will come back, after I think I supported with enough resources to show why it's important, with sources giving us the tools to know where to look, to know what to focus on, and to give examples how it can be parperas l'chachma. It can spice up the class. It can make it a little bit different, a little bit more interesting, and give a different perspective on the person to give their Torah a greater appreciation. Questions? No? Great.